Probably not many of you are aware of an ongoing event, but it is something that someone like me will not miss. The 2012 Chess Olympiad is in progress. It is being held in Istanbul, in Turkey. The Chess Olympiad is a biennial event. Ginaganap ito tuwing ikalawang taon, and our nation has sent a team, and the team captain is, as usual, our own Grandmaster and Asia's first Grandmaster, Eugene Torre. And he has the longest tenure now in the team. And in fact, with his participation this year, he now holds the world record of participation in the Chess Olympiad. It is his 21st Chess Olympiad. Well, Torre, a personal acquaintance of mine, is no longer our best player. But without doubt, he is our most mature, most reliable, most experienced, and someone you can always expect to captain the team wisely. Well, in Christian living, we can make the same distinction. To be mature need not mean to be the best. Yung tinuturing natin na may maturidad, hindi ibig sabihin na siya ang pinakamagaling. Maaring hindi siya ang pinakamagaling, subalit ang isang tunay na may maturidad ay maaasahan. Siya'y naroon, siya'y nagpapatuloy. Hindi siya bumibigay o tumatalikod sa kanyang responsibilidad. And that is what we expect of maturity in whatever field, certainly including in the Christian life. To be mature means reliable perseverance in doing what is right according to the word of God. And that certainly is what Paul is demonstrating in this section of the letter we are studying, 2 Corinthians chapters 10 to 13. Nagbibigay si Pablo dito ng huwara ng maturidad ng isang mananampalataya. In this section, Apostle Paul spent the substance of this section rebuking the Corinthian church and challenging his opponents. These opponents, he called them super apostles. And Apostle Paul is emphatic on making the true distinction between himself as an apostle and those super apostles. He simply called himself a true apostle, an apostle who has shown the authenticating signs expected of the true apostles. These people, they may have the gifts, they may have the impressive marks on them, but they are not true apostles. And this, in this distinction, in a way, is a real challenge to maturity. The mature stands on genuine apostolic authority, not on anything super. Kadalasan dito mahahamon ng ating maturidad. Yung tayo ay tumindig sa autoridad ng mga apostol, na ang ibig sabihin ay ang bagong tipa ng ating banal na kasulatan, titindig tayo sa autoridad niyan kahit na ang kaharap natin ay may napakaraming maaangkin, super apostle, super emotion, super qualification, and yet to the end, the mature will judge things on the basis of what the apostolic authority tells us. Many issues that will challenge our maturity are really clashes between choosing between the true or the super. Now, we are in the section where Apostle Paul is telling the Corinthian church he is preparing for a third visit. Remember, the first visit was the foundation of the church in Corinth. The second visit was that which resulted in a severe, in a sorrowful meeting in which Paul was abused. Now, this third visit, after Paul has proven himself to be the true apostle, he is now prepared to confront sin, now prepared to apply his apostolic authority, unlike in the second visit when he allowed himself to be weak. And as we saw last week, this is something which he saw is the pattern of our union with Christ in his death and resurrection. Ibig sabihin, hindi lang sa kung saan kinuha ni Pablo yung kanyang desisyon kung kailan siya tatanggap ng kahinaan, kailan siya magpapakatatag sa kapangyarihan at autoridad. Ang kanyang pinagkunan nito ay ang kanyang kaisahan kay Kristo sa kanyang kamatayan at pagkabuhay na muli. At sinabi kong noong nakaraang linggo na napakahalaga nitong pananaw sa ating buhay ng pananampalataya. This is not something that we only use on some rare instances, this is the whole perspective of the Christian life. Everything must be weighed and seen in the light of the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here is the Apostle Paul, prepared to confront the church and taking his mature disposition from his union with the death and resurrection of Christ. From here, Paul will now bring home the application of all his arguments to the action of the church. What does he expect the Corinthian church to do? The remaining verses are on application to action. So, messages 1 to 25, you have heard things that consists of true maturity. How do we put that into action? Paul begins with a thought, chapter 13, verses 5 to 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 to 7. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet a test? I hope you will find out that we have not failed the test, but we pray to God that you may not do wrong, not that we may appear to have met the test, but that you may do what is right, though we may seem to have failed. So what's the action now that Paul calls upon? After arguing his way into proving his apostolic authority, what is the plan of action for the Corinthian church and for everybody in particular? Well, the first action he calls on them to do is what has been called in Puritan literature, self-examination. And the fact that I have to cite Puritan literature shows how absent this is in contemporary discourse. Itong pagsusuri ng sarili, napakahalaga nito sa mga Puritano noong 17th century. Pero bihirang-bihira mo na mabasa, marinig ang hamon ngayon tungkol sa pagsusuri ng sarili. Ngunit narito si Apostol Pablo, pagdating sa aplikasyon ng lahat ng kanyang mga sinabi, ang unang-una niyang ipinagagawa sa mga taga-Korinto ay magsuri ng kanilang sarili. It is Paul is reminding the Corinthians that they have been so occupied with examining Paul, looking for faults. It is time that they did what they should have been doing to attain to a level of Christian maturity, and this is relevant to us. Let me put the message in this way. The mature nurtures a sense of divine approval through self-examination. Ang may maturidad ay naglilinang ng kamalayan ng kaluguran ng Panginoon sa pamamagitan ng pagsusuri ng sarili. The mature nurtures a sense of divine approval through self-examination. And this is what Paul is asking the Corinthians to do. Actually, on verse 5, Paul uses two different words. He uses the word examine. Examine is for the purpose of discovering what is it in your heart. And then he uses the word test. The word test is for the purpose of approval. So you have the idea of Paul urging them to discover what is in their hearts, discover what they are internally for the purpose that they may see whether they are approved by God. At napakahalaga nito sa atin, suriin mo ang iyong kalooban, tingnan mo ang talagang nasa iyong loob upang makita mo kung ikaw ay nasa kaluguran ng Panginoon. Kung hindi ka nagsusuri ng iyong sarili sa iyong kalooban, ay papalya ka sa pagtimbang kung ikaw ay nasa kaluguran ng Panginoon. So the Christian who is doing this, who will have the maturity to know himself as God approves. And if he will do that, may I suggest that we maintain a sustained contrast of two pairs. First, examination, not comparison. Pagsusuri, hindi paghahambing. And secondly, integrity, not popularity. Integridad, hindi popularidad. Kaya dito natin makikita ang pagsasalungat ng dalawang bagay na ito ay napakahalaga. Kung gagawin mo ang tamang pagsusuri ng iyong sarili. Kaya unang-una, examination, not comparison. Twice, the call for examination is followed by the emphatic position of the word yourselves. Examine yourselves. Test yourselves. we know that the super apostles, the enemies of Paul, have been underlining all the supposed faults of Paul. And obviously their purpose is to invite the Corinthians to criticize Paul. Iyon ang pinagkakaabalahan nila. Tingnan si Pablo, suriin siya, subukin siya. At ginagawa nila iyon para punahin siya at batikusin siya ng mga taga-Korinto. And Paul tells them, you should rather look at yourselves. You've been spending time looking at me, putting me to the test. Put yourselves under the test. And we learn from here that examination is for the purpose of seeking the approval of God above comparison to others. Kung magsusuri ka, hindi ito paghahambing. Hindi mo sinusuri ang sarili mo laban sa o kumpara sa kung kanino man. Ang tunay na pagsusuri ay ikaw at ang Diyos lamang. It is between you and God, not comparing to someone else. Now you would remember a previous message I underscored in this series is that the mature sees the emptiness of self-commendation based on comparison. No, there's nothing wrong with comparison in and of itself. Sometimes it is unavoidable. Even the Apostle Paul had to say in 1 Corinthians 15:10, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. That's comparison. But when it is done with the purpose of commending oneself by slighting others, that comparison becomes pride-driven. Yun po ang ingatan natin. Yung naghahambing para itaas at iangat ang sarili habang tinatapakan ng iba. Kumbaga'y tumutuntong ka sa iba para magmukhang mataas. Yun ay paghahambog. Yun ay kapalaluan. This is obviously what the opponents of Paul are doing. They are commending themselves by slighting Paul. They were elevating themselves by putting down Apostle Paul. And their self-satisfaction is not due to the approval of God, but only out of comparing and concluding that they are better than Paul. And this self-satisfaction is deceiving. This is the self-satisfaction that sustains the immature. Whereas examination is putting yourself before God Himself, discovering what is His will, and am I in line with His will? What is His word relevant to my situation? And am I in line with the word of God? Those are the questions to ask. Put your heart motives before God and His word. Put your actions before God and His word. And the word of God will slice you to pieces. Now you begin to understand why self-examination is not popular in our generation. Because it is sobering. It slices pride. Our contemporary vocabulary opposite to self-examination is self-esteem, self-confidence. We are taught to approve ourselves and defend ourselves no matter what. Instead of examine your heart, we are told today, follow your heart. Ayan ang paboritong expression ngayon. Sundin mo ang puso mo na para bang ang puso mo kung anong nilalaman yan ay matino. Whereas the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So instead of standing by comparing yourself to others, stand before God and have yourself examined. Well, in medicine, there is that procedure we call biopsy. It is done by excising a part of our body tissue for medical examination. Now, of course, the fact that there is going to be an excision, may kukunin sa iyong katawan, may sakit. At ganun ang self-examination. You put yourself under the microscope of God's Word. And there it will appear what used to seem so clean, the germs and microbes reveal themselves. So the challenge here, brethren, is beware of the unexamined life. The danger of the unexamined life is you are under disapproval without knowing it. Beware of the unexamined life because of the danger of disapproval without knowing it. This is what Paul warns. Do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. Paul begins with the assumption. Because you are professing Christians in the church, let us begin with the assumption that you are in Christ until examination may prove otherwise. Other translations use the word disqualified. And the word has the sense of being disapproved. Without examination, a person may go on with the assumption that he is all right just because he compares favorably with someone else. This is the way of immaturity, or worse, illegitimacy. Yung walang maturidad, kumpara lang ng kumpara, at maganda yung pakiramdam niya hanggat may makikita siya na mas masahol kaysa sa kanya o mas magaling siya kaysa sa kanya. At hindi niya iniisip tingnan ang kanyang sarili kung paano siya tinitingnan ng kanyang Diyos. Self-examination is a means of grace that is a fertile ground for graces to grow. When you are exercising self-examination, their patience grows, humility grows. A self-examining Christian will not be fault-finding. A self-examining Christian will be patient with the deficiencies of others. And may I remind you, as we have our Lord's Supper tonight, this is one purpose for the Lord's Supper. It is a time for self-examination before partaking. 1 Corinthians 11:28, let a person examine himself then and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Do not go through it with mere assumption. The reason why in the wisdom of God, the Lord's Supper is put every now and then to the church as an institution is that we may be called to examine ourselves. And self-examination is something like going with Christian in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress in the house of the interpreter. And in the house of the interpreter, Christian was taught so many things that he simply took for granted until the interpreter told him, what about preaching? What about the word? What about prayer? These are things to examine. And I trust that we will learn to contrast true examination with mere comparison. Examine yourself in the light of God's will and God's word. Then the second contrast is integrity, not popularity. Now, even as Paul urges the Corinthians to self-examination, he assures them that he has done so himself. And it is his hope that when the Corinthians are done, they will see Paul as being on the right side of the issue rather than the super apostles. As it stands now, Paul is on the unpopular side. But he has always worked with integrity before them, whether popular or not. Now, what is integrity? Integrity is truthfulness to one's own conscience. And this is nurtured by self-examination. Now, let me distinguish that with honesty. When you say a person is honest, it means that he is truthful to others. And that's good. That is a virtue. We want honest people who are truthful to others. Integrity is deeper. Integrity is self-directed. Integrity is being truthful to oneself, living by his conscience. And that is what Paul is saying here. I hope you will find out that we have not failed the test. In other words, he could say so because Paul already knows. He has tested himself. He has not failed the test. And Paul is confident because he has been living according to his conscience. Paul is truthful to the Corinthians because he has been truthful to himself. You see, one can be honest without integrity. But it is not possible to have integrity and be dishonest. The lack of honesty in much of our society today is symptomatic of lack of integrity. Give the man integrity, that he will not lie to himself And he will not lie to others. And this is what Paul is emphasizing to the Corinthians, that they are to have integrity and not be satisfied with popularity. How do you nurture integrity? For the Christian, one means is self-examination before God. In self-examination, you test the application of the truth to yourself. What truth are you living by? Sinusuri mo yung timbang ng katotohanan sa iyong konsensya. Anong katotohanan ang iyong ipinamumuhay sa mga usapin ng iyong pang-araw-araw? And it may reveal a truth that you are disowning or compromising by a pattern of behavior. You examine the consistency of your words and actions and your patterns with your Christian faith. It was Socrates, the philosopher, who said, "The unexamined life is not worth living." And certainly the Christian agrees. The immature has little place for self-examination except when forced to do so by circumstances. But the mature gives self-examination a disciplined place in his Christian life. It is not an isolated off-and-on thing. He puts himself under the examining eye of God. Another medical procedure is the CAT scan, or computed axial tomography, also known as CT scan. While conventional X-rays provide a flat two-dimensional image, the CT image depicts a cross-section of the body revealing internal details. That's why it is superior. And I say, when you put yourself under self-examination, don't be satisfied with a mere stethoscope. Put yourself under CT scan. The insides, the motives, the patterns, the attitudes. And the challenge is seek to be right with God, whatever may be the position and sentiment of others. That's integrity. Seeking to be right with God, whatever may be the position and sentiment of others. I am not saying that we are to be indifferent to how others feel. Certainly, Paul was very sensitive to how others feel. But then, look at what he says to the Corinthians in our text. "We pray to God that you may not do wrong, not that we may appear to have met the test, but that you may do what is right, though we may seem to have failed." Paraphrase or translation, it is important for me for you to know that I am right, but more important for me is that you do the right, whether we appear to be right or not. Ang mahalaga sa akin, sinasabi ni Pablo, na makita niyong tama ako, pero kay makita niyong tama ako o hindi, ay ang higit na mahalaga, ginagawa niyo ang tama. That you are doing the right, that's integrity. Conviction that you are doing what is right, whatever the position and sentiment of others may be. And certainly Paul acted this way towards the Corinthians. He did what he did in the face of God, no matter what the Corinthians thought. And now Paul wants the Corinthians to have similar integrity. No matter how Paul would appear to them, the more important thing is that they do what is right. And being right here is not being right as against the wrong of others. That's another faulty comparison. But this is being right with God. That you know you are on the side where God is on. Well, psychologists warn of the so-called morbid introspection when a person is morbidly looking at all his wrongs. And that is not what I am saying. It is not self-fault finding. Examination is for divine approval. What is it that God approves? As Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:4, "As we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts." Again, that's integrity. Satisfied with the approval of God, not with the pleasure of man. The immature walks on the prop of the pleasure of people. The displeasure of people This depresses the immature. Whereas the mature seeks to be right with God. And he can sleep well even if others are displeased. And we seek to be right with God. Because at the cross, we were put right with God and His law. Sa krus ng Panginoon, inilagay tayo sa tamang katayuan sa ating relasyon sa Diyos. At ang magiging alalahanin ng isang mananampalatayang lumalakad ng ayon sa kalooban ng kanyang Diyos ay hinahanap niya ang naaayon sa kaluguran ng kanyang Diyos. And when this conviction is shared in the church, there is going to be sweet unity among the people of God. So I'm asking you, by way of a challenge, and I hope to provoke self-examination, are you right with God now? It gives courage. It yields peace of mind, even if you have to face the criticisms and displeasure of others. I read the account a few days ago of Henry Dunster. Henry Dunster was the first president of what was then Harvard College, which became Harvard University. He was appointed in 1640. Harvard then already 4 years in existence before it had its president. And Henry Dunster was a very respected man. He served for 14 years as president of Harvard and became effective in his administration. But during his tenure, he struggled with an issue of truth. As he studied his Bible, he came closer to the conviction of believers' baptism. And Harvard College then was a branch of the Episcopalian Church, a pedo-baptist church, an infant baptizing institution. And Henry Dunster offered his resignation from the board, but because he was so respected, they refused. They declined the resignation. But then the conflict was becoming more and more public because Dunster cannot just keep quiet about his conviction. And he would not attend. He would not attend when there are programs of infant baptism required of a president of that Harvard College then. And he would not compromise his conscience. And so they had to let him go. But he had no ill will against anyone. When he died, he had his last will bequeath some of his property to the very people who called for his resignation. And that's the man of integrity. Knowing the truth. Stepping according to the truth. And when it comes to a choice, God's truth before position. I ask you to examine yourself where that truth is calling you to a stand and whether you are right with God on that issue. This is the first step Paul asks by way of applied action. Why? Because Paul knew it stands or falls here. They may accept all his arguments. If they don't examine themselves, it won't stand. Well, the same is true to us. If there is a truth needing application, the first thing that we do is, where do we stand concerning the truth? And when we examine ourselves, sometimes we're afraid to see that we are wrong. But as a matter of fact, in self-examination, there is also that sense of however weak we are, what can explain these animating desires that the Holy Spirit is giving to us? This is exactly the point of the last hymn in closing that we will sing as the song puts it, "Dear Lord, and shall thy spirit rest in such a wretched heart as mine?" We sense our wretchedness when we examine ourselves, and the song admits that. But then towards the end, verse 5, "When e'er to call the Savior mine with ardent wish, my heart aspires, can it be less than power divine which animates these strong desires?" You see the irony here of self-examination. It reveals to you your own wretchedness, and yet at the same time, who can explain these animated desires for the Word of God? This must be the work of the Holy Spirit. There is both a sense of humility and a sense of divine approval when we examine ourselves. And may that be, may we heed that challenge to self-examination. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos at Ama, tunay nga po na tanggapin namin ang hamon ni Apostol Pablo sa mga taga-Korinto noon ay patuloy pa rin hamon sa amin ngayon na kami ay magsuri ng aming sarili at sa pagsusuring ito ang siyang maglilinang ng aming kamalayan ng iyong kaluguran sa amin. At kung hindi kami magsusuri ay maaring mangyari na kami ay malayo na sa iyong kaluguran o di naman kaya ay nasa kalagayang walang katotohanan. Pumapalya kami ng pagsusuri. Tulungan mo ang bawat isa na hanapin ang maturidad na humahakbang sa matapat na pagsusuri ng kanyang sarili. And if you are to do this, we must do so by examination of ourselves before our God. And not by way of comparison to others. It is easy for us to stand on others' back and think of ourselves as better, as more a superior. Grant that we may humble ourselves before you, and that when we examine ourselves only in your presence, like we sang, we can sense the wretchedness of our hearts. And yet at the same time, as we seek to put ourselves in line with your will and with your word, it is then that we sense the true desire of a child of God, desiring to do your will, desiring to abide by your word. So grant, Lord, that we may learn to truly exercise the duty of self-examination, especially tonight as we have our Lord's Supper. It is such a sacrament that calls for the examination of oneself. Help us to see our spiritual interior and see whether we are on the same side as our God is on. Grant also that we may seek to have that integrity that is beyond and many times contrary to popularity. May we not seek the approval of others beyond the approval of God. So help us to have that truthfulness to our own conscience, truthfulness to ourselves. And as we are truthful to ourselves, may we truly examine ourselves in the light of the truth of your word and see whether we are stepping according to the truth. And may you grant us that maturity that nurtures your approval by way of self-examination. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.